Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
My name is David Winters. Death has once again come to the House of Collinwood, where friends have been pitted against one another. Also, my 100th red flag for why Barnabas is a psychological psychopath, damaged, unstable, and dangerous. A jealousy will consume and destroy, while spirits from the past will come back, some to warn and others to seek revenge. Revenge that lived on through the centuries.
Welcome back, Radical Ones, to episode 4 of our Dark Shadows, The Revival, reviews and recaps. This episode aired on January 18th, 1991. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with everyone's favorite brother and governess, David Winters! So, David, we last left off with the cliffhanger that Barnabas had gone to Professor Woodard and confronted him. Cut to black. We pick up this episode with Dr. Hoffman and the Sheriff Patterson, and they've gone to Professor Woodard's place because evidently he had called a million zillion times up until this point, and he said that he had some evidence, David.
I have the proof now.
David, this whole scene, they're going back and forth. We don't know that Professor Woodard is a vampire at this point, but oh my God, when he goes, George, and then he just turns around and he's going for him.
All right, Michael. You've been burning up the wires all night trying to reach me. What is it you found?
I'm sorry, George. I feel like a bit of a fool. I hope you forgive me, but it seems I've stumbled down on another dead end.
You want to explain?
Of course. Sit down. Sit. I thought I'd found some information that would lead us to the killer.
What sort of information?
Personal diary.
Well, whose diary was it?
I'd rather not say.
Michael, you told Deputy Harker that you had photographed vitally important information that could identify the killer.
That's right.
And I don't understand. Why don't you want to talk about it?
I told you, George, it was a mistake.
Have you developed the film?
No, I haven't.
And I will.
But George, I told you that there's no...
Just give me the film, Michael. I'll be the judge.
That's what you want.
Now, wouldn't you have just not done anything, unless it's just the bloodlust was out of control? Wouldn't you have just kept it a secret?
That's what I kind of thought.
Or was he compelled by Barnabas to do it?
I don't get it either. Or he wanted to stop. Now he figured that things were going to be exposed, and now this links him to it, so he had to kill him. He already knew Julia was in on it.
So my question, though, also, too, is so for those who have been watching this 1991 series and then listening to the podcast, so do you all feel, because I feel, Ryan, that first of all, Julia knew that Barnabas was going to do something to Michael. How are you somebody's friend? You know, that's why when I made my little David Winters, Victoria Winters thing, that was said friends have been pitted against friends. How are you somebody's friend when you're telling a vampire that's hundreds of years old who would kill anybody and quickly, especially when it's desperate? Why would you tell him that Michael is going to create a problem for them? She kind of feel like she kind of knew that
but
he was going to do something.
But then she kind of did feel angry, right? Because she said, you killed an innocent man. She did say that.
But she was like,
Well, I think it's whole, Dave, and we'll get into it when we get more into this episode. She is just blinded because this man, Barnabas, I am sorry, you are sending mixed,
signals
to her. Okay, so this scene, the sheriff shoots everywhere but the professor's body. I don't know how Julia didn't get shot down with a gang of bullets. He goes,
goes for Julia. She's like,
I love this, though. While he's being attacked, the sheriff, she finds this humongous, I don't know why there was a stake there, and she grams it into him. Good for her, Julia. But between the two of them, I don't know how they got this done, because...
If it was me and I wasn't being compelled by Barnabas, I would have just been like, oh, you know what? I'm leaving town. I've had enough. I'm not going to get involved in this anymore, and lived my afterlife, you know, out someplace else.
But to me, the character would never choose this, honestly. Barnabas says later that he gave him the choice.
A choice that he was not given.
And he chose eternal life. To me, the character up until this point saw it as like a disgrace.
Well, maybe because he was so scared to be killed.
But then why is it, did you notice nobody mentioned that he broke his months long? He hadn't been drinking blood. Barnabas just drank this dude's blood. So wouldn't that break his whole...
Well, maybe he just gave him the venom or whatever.
He just gave him the tip.
He just gave him the cells, you know.
he didn't go full in. So... after this whole ordeal, we cut back to the police station. The sheriff is full of blood. Julia, by the way, I have to give it to her. She's in a green look this week. She has thrown away the dark colors, and she's actually showing some green. They have this whole thing. He's like, do you want some coffee? Because it was a long night. He's like, do you want a stiff drink?
This is liable to take some time. How about a cup of coffee?
Thank you. That'd be nice.
Better yet, how about a good stiff drink?
And by the way, between him and her, all they are, they're smoking cigarettes in this police station like crazy, which is, again, that's such a 90s
thing. Do you remember, did I even mention it? No, I didn't. The other episodes where the deputy is smoking a cigarette in Joe's room while he's watching. Isn't he smoking a cigarette?
Ashes right on him.
This will keep the vampire away. Let me blow some pack of Parliament or Marlboro up in your face.
Such a 90s thing. Oh, God, I love it. At the police station, now he has the little film that Professor Woodard was going to,
Before you even go there, he tells the deputy to do something. And did you think he was going to give him the bloody jacket, tell him to wear the bloody jacket?
I thought he was going to do something with that. Yeah,
you have to go. It's raining. He's looking at the jacket. I swear to God, I thought he was going to be like, and put this jacket on. It's raining because we only have one raincoat throughout the whole police department.
I would actually believe it in a small town.
He said, get rid of it, basically. Get rid of it.
I want this film developed right away.
Yes, sir.
Jonathan. I want you to get rid of this.
Right.
They develop the film, and we know that these are Julia's notes, but she's playing it cool, honestly. He's like, you have to see this, and this is when you think that she's going to be exposed.
Yeah.
Why do you think that the film came out like this? Was this because it was a vampire formula and it can't be filmed on?
No, I think he exposed the film.
Oh, it was exposed. Okay.
I think Michael did it.
But they
or
acted
Barnabas.
Like, it's the pictures there, but it's like it was unheard of.
I don't know. I could have been looking at the Ten Commandments comments on stone tablet.
That's what it looked like. Stone tablets, David.
I don't know. It was pretty bad. So I just think that they needed to use that to make you think that Julia got caught up in what she was doing. However, I think Barnabas had Michael expose the film, or he did it.
So smart. Because he didn't want to give up that film. He was like, oh no, I was wrong. And he's like, give me that film, Michael. Give me that film. We do have a Roger and Elizabeth sibling moment in this episode. This is the nicest moment, I feel like, in the show so far. You know, she's feeling all these things are happening, and they have this nice moment. I wrote Barnabas comes off so phony again. Now, is this, I'm going to keep asking you this, is it Ben Cross's acting, or is it Barnabas pretending to be fake, pretending to be this whole game? Is it a game, or is he really playing this like a joke?
Well, here's the thing. So you talked about with Julia. He said to Julia that he can't wait to the day that he can give the person that he loves this music box while he's holding her hands.
Oh my God.
And he's playing it.
Of course, you are aware that unless there are any more killings, you should be quite safe now.
And what about the cure? Has there been a setback?
Perhaps. But you can still continue to spend limited amounts of time in the daylight.
Oh, Julia. Of course I share your guilt about what happened last night. But you must share my hopes for the future. Let us finish what we've started. Together. This was a gift I gave to someone I loved very dearly 200 years ago. I so look forward to the day when I can give it to the woman who will take her place.
It's maybe, okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here. He's from a different time.
Yeah.
He's a romantic.
Yeah.
And maybe he doesn't think anything of it. For as mannerly as he acts, he doesn't have manners. He doesn't interact. He hasn't interacted with people in so long. I think if you go into like the whole vampire lore, vampires are supposed to be seductive without necessarily like, oh, you know, look at me, Bella. Everything about me is made for you to want me. My smell, my look, my glitter.
Oh.
You know, I don't know if it's just because that's what he is. He's just enticing, and that's just the way it's supposed to
David,
be.
David, you're right. He's holding her hand, and he doesn't specify, I really like Victoria Winters. He's saying just exactly word for word what you said. I can't wait to spend the daylight or something, or give this to the person that I love once this is over. I'm sorry, Julia. I would have thought the same thing.
I would have said, is it me you're looking for? Hello?
Well,
is it me you're looking for?
Maggie does make that sculpture later, like the video for Hello. That's a whole other thing. So I'm sorry, Barnabas. You are playing with fire with Julia Hoffman right here. Anyway.
A lover's scorn, or in this case, a doctor's scorn.
But this is the second time, David, we've seen that he is not specifying. He wants to walk all in the day with the person he loves. That's what he told the last time. She's saying, well, let's see, there's Willie and me here. This is who she thinks he's hanging out with. She is assuming it's her.
Well, as I would too, if it was just...
Willie.
Well,
Willie is actually, he's becoming one of the most endearing characters.
He's endearing, but he's still gross looking with his bad oral hygiene and everything else.
Well, Vicky does say he's starting to take care of himself. So maybe the teeth are coming. Maybe he will brush the teeth.
I don't know, but I'm holding out for Joe.
Oh, which? Anyway.
Perfect body.
Boat.
Perfect hair. Everything. The Daphne.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Anyway,
Collinwood, we hear David in his bedroom, and he is playing with toy soldiers, and we hear Sarah. I like that Sarah's actually playing with him, and she's like, what battle is going on here? And we used to call it this, like Bunker Hill or something when I was around.
Sarah? Which battle is it this time? Bunker Hill, June 17th, 1775. It was called Breed's Hill then.
But it's Bunker Hill now.
I don't care about now. I just know about then.
And which is better, now or then?
Now is different. It's all so confusing. Then was happier. At least it was happier for a while.
I can remember when it was happy here, too.
When was that?
A long time ago.
David?
Yes?
Were you talking with Sarah?
Yes, Miss Winters.
We were playing soldiers.
Where did you get these? They're very old.
200 years old. Sarah gave them to me.
That's a very nice gift.
Well, she's my friend.
A generous friend. Do you give her things?
Well, yeah, sure.
Like what?
Lots of stuff. Marbles. I give her my favorite Peary. And baseball cards. I give her a Bo Jackson. But I don't know what she does with the stuff.
Perhaps someday you and I could exchange gifts. Would you like that?
Yes, Miss Winters.
So Victoria is outside the room and she hears a female's voice. Now, at this point, what we know about Victoria, is she not thinking Norman Bates' child in here?
She's like, this little mofo is...
he's doing voices.
He is doing his own voice. He's talking back in a woman's voice. Is he...
She's like, is that Sarah? He's like, yes, I was talking to Sarah in here. And she's like, oh.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice?
She's like, I don't get paid. How much do I get paid an hour to watch this little psychopath?
This is probably the least of what's going on with
her. Yeah, no, she has a love for him. She has a love for him. And honestly, who wouldn't, if you're a child, you know, a child person, you love children, who would not? Like, especially the trauma that he's been through and the stuff that they've been through. So anyway, then we cut to a part right where she sees Sarah down
she's
a hallway.
She's walking around, yeah.
And she's following Sarah down the hallway. And then she ends up in a room, goes up a stairs, you know, it's like, you know, she gets a key, she opens a door and she sees Sarah reading a book, which just turns out to be a diary. And she's like, who are you, Sarah?
Yeah, at least she put two and two together, honestly. She's a quick study.
And she's like, what are you doing? She's like, basically Sarah tells her in a nice way, bitch, this is a library and I am reading in a library. I come here to read because what? It's a library. The library is open.
But evidently this had been locked off. For some reason.
I want to live in a house so big that you never go into any of the rooms. Could you imagine going into your, that fifth floor, that seventh floor, that wing, I haven't even been over there.
Too much for me, David. They actually do have in the original series, I want to say it's the West Wing. One of the wings are closed off and it's actually a time portal. That's a whole other story. Stairs that lead to another parallel time. But yeah, David's right. This house is so big. She ends up leaving this diary and it's the diary of Sarah. She said she's reading about her brother Barnabas.
Well, it's Sarah's diary. It is, isn't the... There is no Renee Zellweger. It's not the
diary of, oh my God, what, Bridget Jones?
It's not Bridget Jones' diary.
I'm reading about Barnabas.
What did she give you?
It's a diary. It's Sarah's diary.
She's trying to tell you something, too. Someone in this house is going to get hurt.
Who's going to get hurt? David, now that I've met Sarah, I think we should make an agreement.
What kind of agreement?
That if either of us sees her again, we should tell each other. That way maybe we can figure out what she's trying to tell us.
I think that's a really good idea, because I really don't think anybody else should know, especially Barnabas.
Why?
I already told you. Barnabas is evil.
All of a sudden, David is in the background. He goes, now do you believe me?
Told ya.
She's like, yes, but let's not tell anyone about this. And also, if Sarah appears again, let's promise each other that we'll both tell the other.
So that we know what's going on. Keep it, you know, keep it casual just between us. And he's like, I think that's a good idea. And he also says, Barnabas is evil again. Don't tell him anything. Barnabas is evil.
Yeah, he's like, I told you already he's evil.
Matter of fact, she smiles. I don't know if that was like a, She's like,
She's like, I'm kind of going with this Josette identity. So,
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the fantasy.
So, I don't want to really hear that red flag right now, David. I'm sorry. Actually, the cuts in this episode are kind of, it goes right into the next thing, David, because what's the next scene? Classroom with Victoria, and David is back in this desk. This was a whole other thing. I'm just like, please. She's like, David, what's in that desk? Is there going to be another?
Do this again? Are we going to do this again? Is there another spider in that? He's like, no, Miss Winters.
Why is he back to acting a crazy fool?
But we now, you will know why in a few minutes.
He opens this up, and it's a portrait, it's a painting.
And she's like, it's so beautiful. Yeah, I thought it was. Oh,
yeah, David, I had the same reaction.
I was like, I'm no expert, and you know, I've painted a bit, but it wasn't it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay, but it was no.
It might be better than I can do, but it wasn't like a masterpiece.
No, David, I think you could have did that sail on that boat. I think anyone could have did that.
Anyway, I digress.
Beautiful, David. Where did you find this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful? She says,
in the room, you know, the room, another room that you're not supposed to see. That's in another place. So she says, I think we need to put this painting back. So then he takes her in, and she's like, he's like, you're not going to tell my dad. She's like, I'm not going to tell your dad. She goes, I'm also not going to tell him that you have those keys.
Which he was like a freaking 50-year-old super at a building. He's shaking these keys on his ring. He's
so like, he opens the door, and it's a studio, and there's painting. Studio. Yeah, and Victoria's looking, oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Oh, this
Victoria's
is, oh,
got some oh. bad taste because she unveils she,
well,
this.
Listen, portrait. She's got bad taste in men. She's got poor judgment when it comes to other men. She went with Willie after he was in a drunken rage at a dive bar.
Jobs, men, red flags.
I mean, hey, she's like, but I'm going to be the heiress to the Collinwood estate that's falling apart, apparently, because they can't even go into every wing.
We see her unveil this portrait where it's a woman holding a baby with her back. And she's like, it's beautiful. David, do you know who this woman is? Like, how would he know? I mean, yes, we know why he would know. But David, tell me who this woman is that you don't even see. You see her back.
It's me. Is this Josette? I mean, Josette, is there another picture of me? How about me? Does this remind you of me?
Do you think this is
look at me? Do you think that this could be me in this picture?
She is a brunette, David. And that body looks slim like mine. That could be me.
These are beautiful.
Yeah. Well, we really shouldn't be in here.
But who painted them?
Julie, you must know who painted them.
David? Do you know who this is?
What are you doing in this room? And how did you get in here?
It wasn't locked. Actually, it was my idea. I asked David to show me around
the apartment. You had no business doing that, Miss Winters, and certainly no reason to be in here.
I'm sorry. We didn't disturb anything. As a matter of fact, I was just admiring.
You weren't hired to admire anything. Your job is teaching my son, not breaking into areas of this house or our lives that don't concern you. Please go downstairs. Miss Winters, this room, everything in it, doesn't exist anymore.
Roger comes in and he is pissed. He said, what are you doing in here? But Vicky covers for David. And she's like, I asked him to give me a tour. And can you imagine, though, he's thinking that this really, he's like, I pay you to teach my child and you're having him give you a tour of the house?
I would have said, listen, I want to know where every possible exit is to get out of this building. The wiring is questionable in your home.
Oh, well.
That's what I would have said. Okay, can we get back to something? I honestly thought that, Roger was married to his cousin, apparently, or his sister. What's her name? The lady of the house.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Wasn't he married to Laura?
Laura is, she's a Collins, but she's only a Collins through him. So she was Laura something. So Elizabeth is his sister. Yeah.
They were married. So, well then, can I ask you something?
Why they say affair?
Why do they refer to him sleeping with Maggie as an affair? The Laura, who he was with, is gone.
No, I realize they said in this episode she's locked up in a mental institution.
She's gone.
Well, I guess she's technically married, but that's why it's an affair.
She's
You're
gone.
Right. It's weird that
she's
they said
gone.
That.
I'm going to tell you right now. Please let my husband know, Brian, that if I lose my damn mind and I'm away crazy and there ain't no redeeming me, that he is now divorced and he should find someone else to take care of my children.
No, because you will send your child to make a voodoo doll and burn him.
I digress. So anyway,
Laura Collins in the original David was a phoenix. So in the soap opera, the original Dark Shadows, she is a phoenix. In this remake, they call her a witch. So they're like condensing her and
so
almost
she's
mixing
Jean
her
Grey.
With Angelique. Yes, well, a phoenix, David. So Laura Collins was a phoenix. She was supposed to be reborn approximately every 100 years and is consumed by fire as an adult every 100 years. She has actually lived many lives in the Dark Shadows timeline. She has married 3 Collins, Jeremiah Collins, Edward Collins, and Roger Collins. So 1700s, 1800s, and 1960s. And there she has a total of 7 incarnations in this Dark Shadow series. So they evidently were setting the stones.
So she's a doppelganger, just like in the Vampire Diaries.
Yes. Everyone, for some reason, they're mixing her with Angelique. Because why is it the same thing? A phoenix, David. She's a phoenix, keep in mind. And that makes sense. With the flames. But if you didn't watch the original series,
you wouldn't know that.
You would never know this. You find out that Roger said that everything in this room or something is of the past.
He basically realizes that he got a little bit nasty with Victoria. Like, he steps it back. He's like, this life is over or something, to the effect of basically all the pictures. And she's like, they're so beautiful. But she protects David. She puts the blame on herself. And he's like, the person that did this is no longer, I don't know. He basically very dramatic. And he kind of pulls back his nastiness for a little bit. I think because he's almost sad. And by his lost love, his art, his whatever.
Mm.
Then we go to another David who's collecting various items belonging to his dad, Roger.
This episode does go everywhere. I actually call this the first Monster of the Week episode because it's almost like, yes, we have the general Barnabas vampire storyline, but look, they're starting to include things like a phoenix, although they don't say it, David being controlled, doing the voodoo doll kind of situation. Yes, he's collecting things, hair samples. He's got a little Ziploc bag. He takes pipe cleaners from his pipe.
Mm. So this one thing we didn't mention, Barnabas is walking on the beach with Victoria. Now, tell me that this wasn't she wasn't leading this conversation on. She's like, Barnabas, I can imagine the generations of Colin children laughing in the water here and playing. She's like, do you think that your children's spirits still play here? Hint, hint, Sarah.
Yes, because she just saw that. Yes. So she's trying to say something without saying it.
And then she's like, I have something to give you. He's like, what, Victoria, what?
But he does go crazy.
And then she shows him, he's like, do you know what this is? And where did you get this? He grabs her arm, red flag, aggressively grabs her arm. He's like, where did you get this? And she's like, he goes...
I love history. I love history.
Stop. Yeah. I'm such a historian. You know that the history of my family is so important to me that I would rip your arm off at this beach.
Yeah, that's exactly...
I would slap the shit out of you.
That's the reaction, and she's kind of like, oh, yes, yes.
I felt like he was going to backhand her.
Where did you get this? She's like, oh, yes. Family is everything to me. Oh, slap you.
I have something I want to give you.
What is this?
It's a diary.
Where did you get this?
I found it.
Where?
Barnabas, you're hurting me.
I'm sorry, Victoria. I didn't mean to frighten you. It's just... I know what this is.
The diary of Sarah Collins.
My ancestor's little sister.
I know, but why are you...
Victoria, you know how much my family's history means to me. This... the actual diary of Sarah Collins is very special to me. Where did you say you found it?
I found it in a closed-off section of the house. It was in a dusty old library in the West Wing.
Thank you, Victoria. This is a wonderful gift.
You know, you've told me so much about Josette and Barnabas, but you never mentioned that she married someone else.
Yes, she married his younger brother, Jeremiah.
No. I was surprised when I read it in the family history at Collinwood. I wonder what happened. I thought she loved Barnabas.
The history books might not write it so. She did love him.
So she's okay with that. She kind of goes like, he's like, yes, thank you so much. This is the best gift ever, blah, blah, blah. And she kind of looks and's like, yeah. Cut to Miss Maggie Evans. Also smokes. She's making her sculpture. And David, this woman needs AC. Because every time we see her, she's sweating and having sex with Roger. This is her set. Bedroom. And sweating.
I want to have hot, sweaty bedroom sex.
Roger couldn't give her a few dollars to get some air conditioned unit in that place. She's making a
sculpture. Is it in the back of the dirty halibut or whatever it is?
Yes, it's part of the blue whale, I think.
The blue whale.
Yeah, so she's in there. She probably smells like fish, too. They probably get the local fish market is right there.
She's a fishmonger's daughter.
So, David, while she's with Roger, she gets a premonition.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees David making the most largest voodoo doll I've ever seen in my life. This was like a cabbage.
It was Annabelle.
It was Annabelle. It might as well have been Annabelle. The biggest thing I've ever seen. And he lights it on fire. I gotta tell you, Roger's acting was fantastic. He was like, I don't even know. He looked like he said, what is happening? And she was fantastic.
It wasn't like me. I have never felt anything quite like this in my entire life.
Thought of that the other day, actually. David had a leg cramp one time.
I had a double leg cramp. I was visiting. I don't know what. I don't know when it was. And I think we may have mentioned this before the podcast. So I had a double leg cramp out of nowhere. Charlie horses, as people call them. And I immediately sipped into a British accent and said, "I have never felt anything quite like this in my entire life."
Now, and you said, "Hit it with your fist." Maybe he turned into Barnabas for a minute. Victoria, I will hit you with my fist. So yes, he's never quite. I guess his whole body felt like it was on flames.
Well, he was trying to burn him from the. I guess he was going to spontaneously combust.
She was screaming. Maggie was screaming too. Roger! And she's getting the premonition and she sees Victoria running in and putting the doll out.
My God. What was happening to me?
So, David, what happens next?
She sees Victoria in the background with a bunch of paintings, and then she runs to put the fire out.
Victoria's not working again, Roger. Wait, she see it. She's like, Roger, she's not teaching your son anything again. I see her on the beach with Barnabas. I see her thrift store shopping.
She's got looks at what appears to be one of your paintings. Is that me? Is that me in the window?
Oh, are they both artists? So, David, Maggie calls up Josette. No, Josette. Oh, my God. Maggie calls...
Might as well be.
Victoria. And she decides to meet her, I wrote, in a high-end Salem witch village. This looks like when you go to Salem, she appeared in a witch village next to a sea market.
She's like, Vicky, come on, girl. Come on, Vicky, over here, girl. We're going to have some lunch, and I'm going to tell you everything.
I guess you're wondering what's so urgent.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. But you have to promise not to think that I'm a loony.
I promise.
Vicky, you've got to be very careful with David.
What do you mean?
He tried to kill his father today.
What are you talking about?
I guess you've already heard that I have certain abilities, that I see things.
Carolyn's mentioned it.
But you don't believe it.
I didn't say that.
Vicky, I saw David burning that doll today. And I also saw you put out that fire. I was with Roger. And it almost did kill him. We're having an affair.
That's none of my business.
No, it isn't. But I don't want anything to happen to Roger. And you're the only person that I can turn to.
Maggie, I can't even begin to understand what's happening here.
David is being controlled by his mother.
His mother is in an institution in England.
It doesn't make any difference. She knows what's happening. She knows about my relationship with Roger. She's trying to punish me and kill him.
Maggie,
she's evil. With power she knows how to use.
What are you trying to say?
She's a witch. Whether you believe me or not, watch David very, very carefully.
So did you notice, and I don't want to spoil our next episode because Radical Ones, David and I did watch the next episode, but everybody is trying to be Victoria's friend. Everyone thinks that she needs to talk to somebody. This
She's
is Julia.
Elena. She's Elena.
Is that what happened? Is that what?
That's Elena from Vampire. So I really think now that I think the creator and writer of The Vampire Diaries really was watching a lot of Dark Shadows. But anyway, I still like it.
So you need a friend, Victoria, and you need me. I'm having an affair with
She's
Roger.
Like, I know you don't want to know this, but I'm having an affair with Roger. And I saw the flames. I saw you put it out. I know that you don't believe me. She goes, I don't want you to think I'm some sort of freak. But I'm telling you right now, girl, you in trouble.
You were wearing red. I saw it all. You look like you were dressed like the nanny Fran.
She's like, you need to watch David really closely. Like, you need to really keep an eye on him. That's what she tells her. She's like, unlike the times that you've let him run through the whole town, empty abandoned buildings, let vampires almost attack him out in an empty pool.
I'm telling you, want your job? You better watch this.
You want to keep this job? You better keep a fire extinguisher on you at all times. You want a Maserati? You better work. You want to be fancy? Want to be famous? Want to get bit by a vampire? You better work, Victoria.
I appreciated that she's like, you don't believe me, but I saw you put out the flame.
That would be me.
But she had to have at that point believed her because it was literally, how would she have known? How would she have seen
But see, it? The difference is I'm an explainer and I would have been like, how would I know that? Tell me that didn't happen, Victoria. Go ahead. Tell me
you weren't wearing red.
Tell me you weren't wearing this horrible sundress that I can't burn that when you get home.
With the cigarette. Everyone's smoking in this show.
I'm having an affair with Roger. I thought it was the heat from our lovemaking session that put him on fire, but it wasn't.
Do you see how sweated I am? I don't even have another shirt on to here.
He won't even buy me air conditioning. He asked me, how long do you think I can wait? I meant for air conditioning.
Oh, that's right. He said, how long do you think? I'm in Ila for the long haul.
She's like, I'll wait for as long as I need to. Please get the one that goes into the wall and not the one that sits on the floor, as it does not work as well.
Victoria, she's got a friend in Maggie.
She takes it under advisement and she's like, first of all, don't tell me you're having an affair. I shouldn't know about this.
But let me tell you, girl. No, I am not.
But she's like, okay, all right. She's like, I don't know. I've been almost bitch slapped by a man on a beach. I've seen a dead girl give me a diary.
Vampires.
I'm masquerading as a dead woman who looks just like me, or I look just like her. She goes, what's another thing? That's what I'd be like. Oh,
she's
okay.
Like, free lunch? Free lunch at the Salem Witch Village?
She's like, is this comped? Because, you know, I don't make a lot of money watching that fire starter kid.
Because she never works. Victoria is never working.
She's taught him three things. She's like, this is a map of the United States. This is the United States. Look at it.
And we're doing painting and art class for the rest of the evening. The biggest thing that also happens is, and this is why I kind of think that they were mixing Laura Collins, a Phoenix, in the Phoenix episode where David is burning things. They see, supposedly, Barnabas is at the fireplace with Willie. He's opening the diary of Sarah. And for some reason, it looked like a photocopy. It didn't look like it was hand-drawn by any means. It looked like it was printed out on a piece of paper. Picture of Angelique, the witch, supposedly.
And she's real pretty, Barnabas. She's real pretty. Who is she? He immediately rips the page out, crumples it, and throws it into the fire. And then the banshee comes out.
What'd you do that for, Barnabas? Who was that? Jeez, Barnabas, what's going on? Seen nothing like that before, and I hope I never do again. What was that?
Her name is Angelique. The true curse of my existence.
I don't understand, Barnabas. Who is this Angelique?
She is a force. So evil, so powerful, that even now she reaches across the centuries to destroy me.
Thought this was amazing because it goes on and on and on, and Willie is hiding behind Barnabas, but even Barnabas is just like, what the hell is happening?
See, this is where David would be different. I would have grabbed the nearest fire extinguisher or pitcher of water and threw it right at it.
You vile beast.
So that would have been me.
It's screaming. They're saying it's Angelique, but to me, I swear to God, this was supposed to be Laura Collins because she's a phoenix. I don't know if they know what they were doing.
I just cleaned and waxed those floors. You're going to burn them.
Willie's like, I don't know what happened. I've never seen anything like that.
He hid behind Barnabas, petrified.
I was petrified too. She screamed. And it went on and on and on. And the effects were pretty good, honestly.
Tell you the Grudge incident that happened to me?
No.
Does everyone know the Grudge? Okay. I wake up in the middle of the night to my daughter, who has very long brown hair. I see what appears to be the Grudge with the hair, hair in front of its face, kneeling down by the side of my bed by my face. Like, super close to my face. Now, you tell me. And I woke up and I was like, oh, God, I'm so tired. And then I look and I go, oh, it must be her. I said, stop being so damn creepy and just get in the bed.
It must be her. It must be her.
Wait a minute. Then the next night, I wake up and my youngest son wants to get in bed with me. So he does. He sleeps between me and my husband. And then I feel what appears to be one of my dogs at the bottom of the bed. So I'm petting my dog with my foot. No, it wasn't my dog. It was Mariana. My daughter decided that she was going to sleep again in my bed, not say anything, sit at the bottom of my bed, curled under a blanket, and I'm rubbing her head with my feet. I thought it was one of the dogs that got up out of the cage, because they do that sometimes, and they end up laying on the bottom of my bed, you know, like dogs do. Could you imagine?
But as opposed to being nervous, you're just going, well, even if it was the Grudge, we'll just get in on it, just go to sleep. You're like that woman from Scary Movie that fought the ring in the
Could you imagine telling the Grudge, stop being so creepy and just get in the bed then already?
get in this bed. So the ending, David, of this.
Oh, yeah, so there's a fire, the thing.
And there's wind.
And then there's wind.
There's wind that blows open Sarah's diary, and Sarah, we assume, begins to write, leave her alone, Barnabas, the young woman with the hair, with the dark hair. Don't go for her, basically, blah, blah, blah. And Willie's like, I saw what it said, Barnabas. He don't want you to be with Miss Winters no more.
I'm concerned for Miss Winters. He's like, Willie, I'm going to backhand you again and beat you with my cane.
taken to the beach. So this is how we end with the dun dun dun.
I'm sorry, Willie. I know you mean well, but nothing's going to happen to me. And I certainly wouldn't allow anything to happen to Miss Winters.
But Barnabas, what's the right in talking about? Who's going to try and hurt you? Is it that Angelique?
I don't know. But nothing's going to stop me. Soon I will be like other men. And this time when my Josette comes to me, it will be different. You're a loyal friend, Willie. I shan't forget that.
Jeez, Barnabas. Jeez. There ain't nothing I wouldn't do for you.
I know. Now I must go and change. Put that back in the desk. Please.
There's a lot in this episode. There's a lot in this episode, Radical Ones. And we're setting up something big. Something big is happening. This is, I feel like, the tide. After this episode, our next episode, I think the tides are changing. And we don't mean on Widow's Hill. With that being said, David, I really enjoyed this episode because I thought there was a lot happening. I will say it would be confusing unless you knew that Laura Collins was a phoenix and she's...
See, I remember a lot of this stuff, but I also know that typically when they update things, they do mix and match different things. So I kind of, like, I just took it as, for whatever it was, face value and just kind of went with it.
And they call her a witch in this. So they're setting up that she's a witch, Angelique's a witch.
Is Maggie considers herself a witch? Or she just has...
She must have just... In the original one, she doesn't have these abilities. Radical Ones, please follow along with us to our next adventure in Collinwood. You could always reach David at Universal Appeal 2020, all one word. And the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast, one word, on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and more.
This boy is on fire.
Literally. Radical Ones, we'll see you next time. And until then, stay scared.
Ooh. He finally got fed up as anyone could be. Left a note in blood, set up going on TV. Barnabas had flown away to Collinsport in Maine to become the Ed Sullivan of the jugular vein.
Barnabas, we must confess. We dig your pearly fangs and your mustang vest. Fighting people's merits is your ghoulish desire. Barnabas, your favorite vampire.
Sing my song, boys and ghouls.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.